Previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
And then he dreamed he and Kendall were on the Titanic the night the great ship went down.
What is everybody doing running around like crazy?
Oh, Kendall, you would think that there was a mouse on board, but I know the White Star Line would never allow that to happen.
Oh, absolutely not.
Coming in at 9.0 on the Richter scale, but a 10.0 on the laughter scale. Here's Cliff and Kendall.
You got bills to pay and the rent is due, but you spent your money all up on food. Your car blew up into a fireball. It would be nice to escape it all. To go someplace where the laughs are free, and there are bad jokes and bad hosts and bits of humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We're the show that'll never say die. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall are your hosts. Come along for the ride, where we can laugh about everything and make it through anything. Belch in your face and hear that ding-a-ring. And occasionally we sing. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
Kendall, who the hell invented breath mints?
Oh, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall.
Here we are. Here we are again.
Thank God.
Here we are again.
Thank God. It's magic time. It's magic time again.
That's what everybody says whenever I walk into a room. It's magic time again.
It's magic time.
It's magic time. It's magic time again. We are celebrating the inventions and the inventors. This week.
All the great minds. Great minds of history.
That time and knowledge forgot.
Yeah.
Like us, we invented this show. Everybody was like, wonder who
invented
this show.
We invented this format. We were like, you know what we need to do? Have a show on the internet. And we just did it. We just did it. You're welcome.
People think, wonder who the first person to do a podcast was. They don't know. It was us. It was us.
I'm pretty sure it was us.
No.
Ooh, sorry, I'm so fat, I'm bumping into the podcasting table.
Kendall, people say it's magic time when you walk in a room. When I walk in a room, people say, what was that, an F4?
Sound like a train, like a freight train coming through. It must have been a tornado.
All aboard!
Well, see, here we don't have tornadoes in L.A., so everybody's like, oh, earthquake, earthquake!
Earthquake! Oh my God, what was that on the Richter scale? Two fat people.
That's what they call the scale when I weigh on it, the Richter scale.
Oh, that's the only scale I can weigh on. To give a true estimation of my girth is the Richter scale.
Oh, God. So, Cliff, now the start of this show, the reason we decided to do this show was you were wondering who invented breath mints.
Who invented them? Where did they come from?
Exactly.
Did the ancient Egyptians invent them, as they did so many other things?
Who invented breath mints, Cliff?
I don't know. I thought you would tell me.
So I'm gonna find that out. Why don't you tell me some more inventions while I'm having our researchers find this out for us?
Okay, yeah, this is why we're not on Discovery XM radio. Kendall, who invented the garbage can? You might be asking yourself one day, throwing away old empty food containers empty food-related products.
Every time I take the trash cans to the curb, I'm thinking, who invented these?
Who invented these? It was Lynn Eisenman. She was the inventor of the trash can. It occurred to her when she was in her backyard one day peeling apples, and she didn't have no place for all them discarded parts. She's like, you know what? I need a can where I can put all this garbage. Voila. Garbage can.
You never know where you're going to spark creativity. Like, you and I were sitting at a buffet. We're like, I need a trough to carry the rest of this food home.
Yeah.
And then the food trough was invented. You never know when inspiration's going to hit. Cliff, do you know who invented the pop top soda can?
Pop a top again.
It wasn't Alan Jackson, no.
It was not. I thought maybe it was Alan Jackson.
It wasn't, Cliff. The true inventor of the breath mint, or the breath mint, of the pop a top can, 1959, was Ernie Frazee.
Kendall, who invented the keychain? You may be asking yourself one day.
Well, guess what?
The first keychain was invented by Frederick J. Loudon, an African-American inventor, in January of 1894. Loudon, he was born free in...
Born free as
fat as our fat flows. And he was also an accomplished singer, orator, and civil rights activist. He died in 1904. He just was one day, he had a bunch of keys. He's like, you know what? I need the damn chain on these keys.
Well, it's because he had so many things that he did. It was symbolic of the keys. Like, how do I...
He had a key
keep all
to
this
the music
stuff
shop. Mm-hmm. He had a key to the podium factory. And he had a key to the civil rights museum. And mm-hmm. he had all those loose keys in his pocket. And he just had to some way to chain them together, Kendall. How did it happen?
Oh, I don't know, Cliff. Things just happen. Like when we become Oprah.
We became Oprah. Just happened.
Now, something that none of us truly can live without, Cliff, are ATM machines. We use them on a daily basis. Never once, I bet, have you
every
thought
day.
When you go to that ATM
every
machine
day.
And pull out cash, I wouldn't
I go to the
this.
ATM. I see the ATM more than I see my family, Kendall. I go 4 or 5 times a day.
And you don't know where it came
from? No, who invented it?
Well, a fellow by the name of James Goodfellow, because they were trying to find a way for people to take money out of a bank after hours and on weekends when they were closed, and he came up with this idea, and they were real worried about that, people coming up belching while they're taking out money, and they were also worried about how they would, like, protect people's money, and, you know, and so that's when they came up with the ATM PIN numbers. So he invented both ATMs and PIN numbers. Thank you, Goodfellow.
What an ingenious man. Kendall, who invented the internet?
I do not know their names. There are 3 men, right?
Oh, well, what I have heard, Kendall, I may be blowing the lid off of something here.
Uh-oh.
J.C.R. Licklider. Licklider, not Lint Licker. J.C.R. Licklider. was the first to describe an internet-like worldwide network in 1962 in a series of memos discussing the intergalactic computer network concept. And then Al Gore just took it from there, ran with it.
He stole that bitch's idea.
Gave us the internet that we know today. Thanks, Al. Kendall, who invented hairspray? You may be asking yourself every day as you cement your coiffure atop your head.
That director, Cliff. I could think of his name. Shit.
Martin Scorsese.
No, the director that directed Hairspray.
John Waters.
John Waters, thank you. It wouldn't come to me. That would have been a hilarious joke had I worked it out ahead of time.
It would have been. Just imagine it yourselves, listeners, how hilarious that would have been.
Everybody go back real quick, just for a second. Cliff, who invented Hairspray? John Waters.
Hilarious. Kendall, hairspray was actually invented in the late 40s by Arthur Van House. This is a beauty product that has evolved over the years from environmentally unfriendly aerosol cans that had harmful CFCs that just put a big old hole, a size even you and I could fit through in our ozone layer. But now it is a pump spray, and it's a product women worldwide will use every day in their beauty regimen.
Oh, and sometimes us when we have one single hair on our bald head that's out of place that we have to, you know, stick
it's
down.
It's awful when that one hair just will not lay down.
We're just like Homer Simpson. It just sticks right up, Cliff, and that's not a joke.
It's not a joke. I wish that we were more dissimilar.
With Homer Simpson. Cliff. Cliff?
Yeah.
Cliff. thank you. All right, forget I said Cliff.
But
the man was walking in the woods.
And
he came to a cottage where the walls were covered with clocks. And he asked beautiful. The woman who owns the cottage what all the clocks were for, and she said that everyone in the entire world had a clock, and every time you told a lie, your clock advanced 1 second.
Oh, shit.
So he sees this clock, Cliff. It was hardly moving, and he remarked about it and said, whose clock is that? And she said, well, that was Mother Teresa's clock. It barely ever moved.
Oh, wonderful woman.
And he said, I'm just curious, where is Mitt Romney's clock? And she said, oh, it's in the kitchen. We use it as a ceiling fan.
Oh,
oh,
the bitch
Republicans.
Oh,
sorry. Oh, okay. Had to get it off my chest.
An elderly couple, they sat through a porno movie twice.
Oh, good for them, Cliff. Good for them.
Yeah. Hey, you live your lives, everybody. They didn't get up to leave until the theater was ready to close for the night. And the usher, there's always a friendly usher there to escort you out of the
Howdy, folks.
Theater.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, you must have really enjoyed the show. I think it was Annette's Hot Dripping Mess. And
Monique's Wet Dripping Mess. Six.
Yeah. Disgusting, said the old lady. It was revolting, her husband added. Then why did you sit through it twice? The usher asks him anyway. Well, we had to wait until you turned up the house lights, the old lady replied. We couldn't find my panties, and his teeth were in them.
Ooh, disgusting old couple. Brr.
Oh, Kendall, they're keeping it spicy even in their golden years.
And then Mr. Snodbottom said, I'm kidding, Mr. Snodbottom, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
He got all angry in there.
Oh,
sorry.
He was about to come in here.
Cliff, a young guy was complaining to his boss about the problems he was having with this stubborn girlfriend.
Oh,
he said, she
horrible.
Gets me so angry sometimes I could hit her, the young man
no.
said. Well, the boss said, I'll tell you what I used to do with my wife. Whenever she got out of hand, I'd take her pants down and spank her.
Oh.
And shaking his head, the young guy replied, I've tried that. It doesn't work. Once I get her pants down, I'm not mad anymore.
I'm not mad.
Ooh.
Not anymore.
Slut.
Go. Oh, Kendall, a traveling salesman is in, where else? Alabama. When he comes upon a house
comes along
with a
sheep.
Little boy. Yeah, sitting on the front steps. There's a little boy on the front steps. And the salesman, he says, son, is your mother to home? And the little boy nods, yes. And, well, can I see her, please? I've got some encyclopedias to sell. And the boy nods again, and they go around the back of the house where they find the mother on the ground, naturally f***ing a sheep. What else?
Whoa.
And the salesman is aghast at this. He says, son, do you see what your mother is doing? And the boy nods, yes. Do you know what that is? And the boy nods. Doesn't it bother you? The salesman. And the son, he just says, nah.
Oh, they found a new use for sheep in Alabama.
Whoa.
Oh, it never gets old, Cliff. It never,
It never gets old. It always seems new. A new
Those three
use
little
for
words. Please and thank you. Cliff, a little boy.
Oh, please. Thank you.
Little Johnny. Cliff. He sees his daddy's car passing the playground and going into the woods.
Oh, shit.
Now, you know little Johnny, he was curious, because he follows that car in and sees his dad and Aunt Jane kissing. And Johnny finds
Aunt
it
Jane,
so...
Oh, Jane, why would you do it?
Cliff, he finds it so exciting and can barely contain himself as he runs home and starts to tell his mother excitedly, Mommy, 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 I was at the playground, I saw Daddy. And Mommy says, little Johnny, slow down. But I want to hear your story. So little Johnny, he slows down, he says, I was at the playground, I saw Daddy's car going to the woods with Aunt Jane, I went to look, and Daddy was giving Aunt Jane a big kiss, then he helped her take her shirt off, and then Aunt Jane helped Daddy take his pants off, and then Aunt Jane laid down in the seat, and then Daddy and Mommy at this point cuts him off, says, Johnny, this is such an interesting story, suppose you save the rest of it for supper time, I want to see the look on your daddy's face when you tell him tonight.
Oh, no.
And so they waited, Cliff, and at the dinner table, Mommy asked Johnny to tell a story. He describes the car, going into the woods, the undressing, laying down in the seat, and says, then Daddy and Aunt Jane did the same thing Mom and Uncle Jeff used to do when Daddy was in the Army.
Oh, shit.
Family of sluts.
Uh-oh. Yes. Kendall.
Oh.
Joe.
Uh-oh.
Oh, for the love of a guy named Joe, he took his blind date to the carnival.
Oh, how sweet.
What would you like to do first, Kim? Asked Joe. I want to get weighed, she said. Oh, that's the last thing we'd ever want to do. We would never with anything, waterboarded, anything before getting wet. They amble over to the weight guesser, and he guesses 130 pounds. And then old date, she got on the scale at Kim, and it said 110. She won a prize. Next, the couple belched, and then they went on to the Ferris wheel. And when that ride was over, Joe again asked Kim what she would like to do. I want to get weighed, she said.
Oh,
back to the weight guesser they went. Since they had been there before, he guessed her correct weight, and Joe lost his dollarino. And the couple, they just kept walking around the carnival and again asked, he said, well, where to next? I want to get weighed, she responded. By this time, Joe figured she was just really weird and took her home early and dropped her off with a handshake. And her roommate, Laura, well, asked her about the blind date. How'd it go? And Kim responded, oh, Wawa, it was wowsy.
Oh, she wanted to get laid.
Cliff, I just picture us at the carnival with a blind date. And like, let's get weighed. Like, let's go do the waterboarding station instead. Cliff, that's all the jokes I got.
That's all the jokes I got, Kendall.
Oh, well, then we'll have to return after this short break with some more inventions of mankind.
Oh.
Don't touch that dial. There's more sass on the way. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Sirs is a candy mint. Sirs is a breath mint.
Stop. You're both right. New Sirs is two mints in one. Stops bad breath in seconds. Tastiest mint of all. Yes, only new Sirs gives you two mints in one. So get new Sirs. Remember, only smoother, tastier Sirs gives you two mints in one. Handy pocket roll comes in assorted delicious flavors. C-E-R-T-S. Sirs.
The studio's been hosed down and Cliff and Kendall are back.
Fat is back.
Guess who's back? Fat again. Yeah.
So, speaking of Fat Cliff, we announced last week.
Fat Cliff. Is there any other? Yeah.
We talked last week about doing our chubby challenge. It's time to find out who's lost the most weight or who's gained the least. It's the Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast Chubby Challenge. All right, Cliff. So, last week we weighed in.
We did.
And we decided that we would weigh in this week, and every week, and we would tell the results of how much we lost, or how little we gained, rather, in some cases. So, have you weighed this week? Did you weigh? Did you cry? Let us know.
I did weigh. Now, how do you want to say who goes first? I have a coin. Should we flip to say who?
Oh, that's a good idea.
All right, so as I flip it, you call it in the air, okay?
Okay. Heads.
It is tails, so...
Ooh, so that means I'm going first, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, now, let me just back up a bit, because...
yeah.
So, last week, when we weighed, 4 days later, I weighed myself, and this doesn't count at all, but 4 days later, I weighed myself, and I'd lost 4 pounds somehow.
Ooh.
It was a fluke of nature. I told you on the phone. I said, I lost 4 pounds. It's amazing. It's a miracle.
I know.
And then I had family come to visit.
Oh, no.
And as Mr. Snodbum tells me, the official weight, he has to be there and see it, which was me weighing in this morning. And the official weight loss was 1 pound. But I do want you to remember that I lost 4 pounds, but I gained 3 back. So I did lose 1 pound. Hey, a pound is a pound is a pound.
Going down is good. Any number down is great. And there, we will say there were about 11 days in between when we've announced our challenge and when we weighed again. So it was not just...
Give me long enough and I'll always gain it back.
A 7-day period, yeah. And I will say that when I weighed in that first time with Mr. Schoenbaum, I told him all about it. He was real upset with me because I wouldn't stop talking about it. I was so bloated. I literally had so much food in me from the night before that, like, I just hadn't crapped it out yet. Pounds and pounds of that. And so...
You piled up for the weigh-in.
I did. And it's paid off, boy. between when we weighed the first time and when weighed again today, Mr. Snodbottom, he can attest to this, I lost 7.2 pounds.
Oh, my God. I think we can see who the clear winner is, Cliff.
A lot of that was just bloat. I don't want
to... But that, hey, but that's only 1 week. You have to keep that up. You're not going to lose 7 pounds every week.
I know. That's why I'm... Anything
I would like
down is good.
To refer our listeners to an old-time story called The Tortoise and the Hare.
Don't think I was not ready to invoke The Tortoise and the Hare had you lost 8 pounds.
Or
don't
as I like to call
I wasn't going
to
do it.
The morbidly obese tortoise and the fat hare.
But never That's fear, awesome. Kendall, I'm still huge if you pop a zit. On the Titanic, it's still a huge fucking ship.
But I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
Hey, I wish you the best. May the less fatter man win.
Otherwise, well, that's okay. That's all for our chubby challenge this week. But next week, watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out.
Oh, Kendall, that's so stupid. Stupid.
It's time for Kendall's stupid question.
Oh,
Cliff, I have lined up some humdinger stupid questions for you.
Oh, thank God.
Cliff, if you could be any height,
yeah,
what height would you be?
Let's see. If I was going to have an appropriate height for my weight, I'd be about 18 feet and 6 inches.
Yeah, I didn't say it would affect your weight. I just said what height would you be. That's why I didn't ask you what weight you would be, because you'd have been talking for 10 minutes.
I don't know. 6'2".
6'2"? Any reason 6'2", or is that just a good round?
That's a little bit taller than me. You know, why not?
All right. I'm
6'2". Why not have a boost in the old height department?
I feel like at one point I was 6'2". I think I've shrank.
We are shrinking. Although I will be a shrunken, bent over old man, and I will still say that I'm 6 feet tall. I don't care what anybody says.
I wish some parts would shrink. Cliff, if you had to be a doctor,
yeah,
what specialty would you choose?
Doctor. I would be a doctor of the heart, like Dr. Shirley from Straight Talk.
Cliff, I hear there's good money in cardiology. Cliff, would you rather your home had a pool, a tennis court, or a rose garden? Which of those three things would you most like your home to have?
I would rather have a pool, provided there were large privacy fences around.
Yeah.
And possibly a dome overhead.
When you retire, many, 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 many years into the future, how do you want to spend your time?
When I retire from this show?
Well, you could look at it how you want to. I would think more of retire from working.
Oh, then I would want to do this
show. We're never
going to
retire from this show.
Yeah,
we're never
going
to retire.
Other than this show, what else do I need? Nothing.
Swim in your domed pool.
Yeah, go for a dip in the dome pool and then do a show. What else do I need?
All right, well, Cliff, I asked some stupid questions. I got some stupid answers. That's all this week for stupid questions. I just love it. I love stupid questions.
Who does?
Oh, I did see that one was an accident. You guess which one. Oh, wait, here comes my assistant.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, she's found out who invented breath mints, Cliff.
Becky, who was it?
Thank you so much, Becky. All right, so Cliff, let's see what she's written down here. The American Chicle Company invented certs, the first mint.
Chicle? That sounds like some sort of horrible slur.
Like a chiclet. It was the first mint aimed at freshening breath and introduced the product in 1956. Certs are a combination of candy and breath freshener, and the breath freshening ingredient, Restin, a trademark name of American Chicle Company, combines copper gluconate and cottonseed oil, Cliff.
Wow. It
wasn't a person. It was a company, the Chicle Company. There you have it, listeners.
The Chicle Company. God bless them. Kendall.
God bless the Chicle Company.
Yeah. Who invented what everybody uses every day? Where would modern society
Toilets.
Be without it? Toilet paper.
Oh, I was close.
Joseph Gaiety. His wife, Gaiety, he was not a member of the Chicle Company. He was widely credited with being the inventor of modern commercially available toilet paper in the U.S. Gaiety's paper was first introduced in 1857 and was available as late as the 1920s. It was called Gaiety's Medicated Paper, and it was sold in packages of flat sheets watermarked with the inventor's name. They're wiping their asses on his name.
Now, as a side note, yeah. What you just said, you know the story of how people started using paper as toilet paper, right?
What book of the Bible was that in?
No, that's not in the Bible, Cliff. They didn't use the Bible. How blasphemous are you, Cliff? They, in the outhouses, they used to read the Sears Roebuck catalog, and they would tear out pages. That's why Sears Roebuck started coating their paper with clay, which is what magazines do now. Cliff, now this is sad, because I always hate to see people that invented something that were younger than us, and they made something of their life way before we ever did. Some 20-somethings, Scott Jones and Greg Carr, invented voicemail.
You know what I'd say to him?
Regular comment.
F you!
I would say, please leave your message after the tone, and F you! It's time.
F you, bitch!
It's time for sex tips with Cliff and Kendall, the two experts that you always want to get sex tips from.
Listeners, yeah. if you become too hot and bothered by this part of the show, pull over your car, go, take a moment.
I thought you were going to say, if you get too hot, pull out, listeners, pull out.
pull out your headphone jack out of the socket of your iPod.
Where were you going with that, Cliff?
Kendall, I want you, when you are out with your lovely wife soon, I want you to whisper some fantasies to her in public. Maybe you two will be laying on a blanket in a park with people all around and whisper fantasies to one another, sparing no detail. You'll create sexual tension, Kendall, but with safety, as there's no real possibility of sex then and there. Unless you're into that.
Cliff, see, the problem with that is that Susan and I have way different fantasies. Mine involve buffets and gravy, and that just doesn't do it for Susan. I don't know why. Cliff, I want you...
Put some more gravy on that.
I want you to make a fantasy lottery with your lover, Cliff. Both you and your partner write 5 sexual fantasies down on 5 separate notebook cards, then head to a restaurant where you can get a booth and some privacy in a public setting, and over dinner and a little bit of wine, pull out the cards and make 3 piles. A yes pile, a maybe someday pile, and not on your f***ing life pile. And put the possibilities in a shoebox, and once a month, pull out a winner!
Oh, Kendall, if that doesn't work, here's what I want you to do. On your way back up to your high-res apartment, stop the elevator. It's a new place to have sex ever since Aerosmith wrote that song about it in the 80s.
Yep.
The elevator! Won't you try... We would need a freight elevator, one that hoists up air cargo ships.
Yeah.
But now your elevator won't have an alarm, but you can stop it in between floors for more privacy. Oh, and just think how hot that would be in the elevator when you're going down.
That's what they do when you're going up while you're going down. Cliff, that's what they do on Grey's Anatomy all the time. People come out all disheveled. But I have found that elevators don't have a stop button anymore.
Why? Because everybody's too busy.
Too many people were having bone sessions in the elevator. Cliff, now here's something that I highly suggest for you and your lover. Exercise together.
Anything that implies that I exercise, I just can't. I can't commit to. I'm sorry.
Cliff, if you work out... don't do that. That's sex tip number 3. Don't do that ever. Cliff, work out together. You can think of it as fat-burning foreplay. And it will raise dopamine levels and ease anxiety. And as a bonus, your post-run sweat has androstenedione, a testosterone derivative that spikes your lover's arousal when they smell it. Now, not for me. I hate sweat, and I would barf if I tried to have sex with somebody that it worked out. Or if I was trying to work out, I'd barf. You know, I'm going to stay away from that one. But I think you should try it.
Kendall, what I want you to do... with Susan tonight. I want you to seduce her in your car.
This all got personal real quick. It was all about the listeners. And you went from preaching to meddling.
I want you to relive the past. Take her to the garage and reclaim a space you long ago ceded. Seduce her in the back seat of the car. It feels a little public. It's steeped in testosterone. And there's a throwback high school quality to it. And then if you want to really top it off, just slushier right in the face. Right after.
Cliff, the problem is that all those spaces now are compact. And I'm way too big to fit in those spots. Cliff, do you know what you can do?
What?
Well, you can send your lover a letter.
Take a letter to my lover.
Write him a letter, one that does not involve a laser printer or an email address or a fax machine.
Oh, well, no.
Write what you feel. That fax machine, yes. Write what you feel, but the ruling sentiment should be one of gratitude and confidence in your future together, and then you mail it to that bone session partner.
Mail it. Just mail it right there. Kendall, if that doesn't work for you, if the letter gets lost in the mail, one last ditch effort, you can try to spice up your love life. Won't you have sex in a forest? It's another new place to have sex, a national park. If the missus likes to vocalize, won't you pitch your tent in Alaska's Denali National Park, where 6 million untamed acres and a crowd-thinning permit system leave little risk of waking the neighbors, the Eskimos and polar bears. She'll gasp in delight when the midnight sun bathes the big one in salmon pink light.
Why do I feel like that was an advertisement for Alaska? She'll bathe in delight when you pitch your tent in her. Oh, Cliff, I'm exhausted from all this.
I'm exhausted. I'm spent.
F-U-ing.
From all that lovemaking. Oh. Yeah.
From all that yelling in the woods, Cliff, I'm exhausted.
I feel like we've just been intimate with the listeners, and I know they're loving it.
Oh, Cliff, we are intimate with the listeners all the time. They're so used to it.
They
love us whispering sweet belches in their ears.
Who doesn't?
Cliff.
Other than the Peabody Committee, who don't seem to enjoy it.
They don't. They stopped listening a long time ago. Finally, on my end here, in 1858, Margaret Knight fought a sexist employee to claim her rightful title as the inventor of the flat-bottomed paper bag. Flat-bottomed bags, they make the rockin' world go round. Because before that, bags did not have a flat bottom, and you couldn't, like, sit them up and put stuff in there. They just fell over. And Margaret Knight, she said, I'm going to make this flat bottom so you can sit it up.
I'm so glad we've spotlighted so many women and African-American inventors today.
See?
It is not just crummy old white men.
Equal opportunity podcasters here, Cliff.
We are. If the Peabody Committee ever heard, they would not be able to deny.
Don't worry about
they
it.
They won't.
They won't.
And that's what's sad.
It is so sad, Cliff. I cry about it 3 times a night. I wake up in the middle of the night and just start crying. The Peabody Committee will never hear our show.
Peabody. It's if free. Download it.
If our listeners out there know anybody on the Peabody Committee, look us up, cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, emails at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, give us a call at our fat line at 818-3084-FAT, and send that information along to the Peabody Committee.
Send it along. Kendall, if what you're doing is not your passion, you have nothing to lose.
Oh.
Idiot. And that was said by unknown Arthur.
That's why we have so much to lose here on the show. Because it's our passion. We have lots we need to lose. But the only thing standing between you and your goal is the bullshit story you keep telling yourself as to why you can't achieve it. And that was Jordan Belfort.
That's right, Belfort. Kendall, I'm ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the ordeal of meeting me is another matter.
Oh.
That was said by another Cliff and Kendall of his time, Winston Churchill.
Because Jesus would be like, where did I go wrong with this one?
What went wrong?
We're going to have to expand the pearly gates. Cliff, I think I'm afraid to be happy because whenever I get too happy, something bad always happens. And that is an unknown Arthur, just like all these unknown inventors of their time. No one knew who did it. I hope that you are one step closer to knowing who invented the products that you hold in your hand every day.
Oh, I hope so.
That's what we're here for. We're here to help the listeners, Cliff. We don't do it for us. Do you think I need to know who invented a toilet? No. The listeners do. We do it for them.
I don't care. I just thought you might want to know a little listeners, and my name is Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com.